This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664-SEASONS.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's get this thing going. Steve Kerr is going to be here in 15 minutes, everybody. Steve Kerr in 15 minutes live from New York. Well, the Warriors are doing the two-step out there. Knicks last night, Brooklyn tomorrow night, and there's no doubt about it, that was one of their top five victories of the year. And along with Steve coming on, we would love for you to come on. 888-957-9570. Dib, do you like surprise parties?
I do, yeah.
There's two kinds of people in this world. You either like surprises or you don't.
Yeah, I like them.
I do, too. Yeah. I don't understand people who don't. Lovely Christie hates them, so I'll never get to throw one.
Yeah, the Lovely Supper doesn't like them either.
But she's really good at throwing them. Really, really good at throwing surprises. And to me, the way I sort of operate, there's kind of nothing better. There's nothing better than when something amazing is going to happen that you didn't know coming. And that's kind of what this feels like to me.
Yeah, it's a surprise.
I don't know what to do with this. You know, like a week and a half ago, we were like, have the Warriors earned your trust? And I guess the only way I can answer it is almost, but not fully, because let me ask you this. Second end of a back-to-back. Steph questionable until tip. Did you sit down last night thinking, oh, they're going to win this? They were actual underdogs. Do you think they'd win?
Well, I mean, I thought that they had a chance because they had everybody. But then as you watch the game unfold and you get, you know, late in that second quarter and you had New York starting to kind of exert their will and they closed out the quarter in a certain way where, you know, you were down 10 late in that first half. And it's like, okay, down 10. Rough start to the third. You might be down 17. You could fall down by 21. All right. It's kind of not really a scheduled loss, but New York is good. You're old, and it's a long road trip, so I would forgive you if you lost, but that third quarter went the way third quarters used to go.
But before game, are you thinking tonight's a W?
No, you're thinking it's a coin toss. Yeah. You're thinking it's probably a 55-45 against.
So maybe that's it. Like, it's not a perfect example of trust because you're right. Like, this is the hard game. They're second end of the back to back.
Yeah, even with no Kitty Cat.
Yep, the road trip and New York is a really good basketball team and all of that stuff. But, you know, do you trust? I remember you and I saying that we both thought this was going to be a clutch game, and it would be tight. So, therefore, you're at least trusting that the Warriors are going to put up a really good fight in this one. And then they did, and then they owned the second half. They owned that third quarter. I thought they owned the fourth quarter, too. Their defense was absolute restaurant quality in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, Moses Moody.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful defense. Took Jalen Brunson completely out of the game. And so you love to see it because they've got multiple ways to do this. But to me, that's where we've arrived. We've arrived at a surprise party. And so I do want to go back to the Jimmy Butler trade. And we've already had the mea culpa on the Jimmy Butler trade. But now let me use a different word. I am so thankful that they made that deal. I have arrived at thankfulness for them doing that deal because, as I said a couple weeks ago, I don't even care if this does go bad next year. I did not think in my rational brain that we were going to get this again. Steph Curry and Draymond Green and meaningful basketball after the trade deadline. There was no tangible reason to think that that was going to happen again. And wherever this goes, it's here. We're here.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is meaningful basketball in March.
Well, and we thought that meaningful basketball would mean play-in tournament, and can you win one? You may have to win two, and then can we just get Steph a series? That's all we want.
Yep.
And that is what we thought meaningful basketball would be, and I set the over-under about a month and a half ago at 4.5 playoff wins, and you paused, and you balked, and you said, you know what? If I had to make a choice, I would take the under on 4.5 playoff wins, which means you didn't think then that they would win a series, and I agree with you. And now, if I was to set the over-under on playoff wins,
well,
it would probably be closer to 6.5 or 7.
Maybe, but keep in mind,
well,
in this
now
moment,
the expectation is for them, like you would expect that they should be able to make the playoffs and win a series.
I don't think that at all. I mean, if the playoffs started right now, they'd be in Denver for game one.
Well,
like,
right.
They're going to be underdogs.
They're trending toward not being the sixth seed. So if I ask you again,
I don't know about
if I
that.
Put the over-under at 4.5 playoff wins right now, what would you take?
I'd still take the under.
Okay. And I think that is surprisingly negative.
No, it's not negative. It's math. They remain three games. I'm playing this as Vegas would tell you. Vegas would tell you that they would be an underdog to go to the second round, even in this moment. Like, you are the sixth seed. And just because you're trending in a certain way, like, you know, you're still three games behind the Rockets and the Lakers and the Nuggets are still sitting there and they're really hard matchups and all that. But as I tried to say during the crossover, my mind's not even going there.
Of course,
I'm not on the playoffs. I am right here, right now. Wow.
Yeah, pretty good,
wow,
huh? Pretty
this
good.
Is not, I did not, come on. We've sat here for the better part of a year and a half taking phone calls that have essentially insinuated that what is happening right now was a goose chase, was irrational, was homerism, was stupid. Like, tons and tons of people have been, I guess you could call it, on both sides of the fence, the whole, like, now versus then, the two timelines, all of that. But come on, that's where the conversation has centered for a while. And by the way, the guy who just texted from Cancun has probably been the biggest voice in this whole city with regard to the idea that this was nonsense to think that something like this could happen. And as of about 2 months ago, I think even those of us who are the most optimistic people in the world, we're running out of bullets. This is not possible. What's happening right now?
Oh, it's very possible.
Well, not really.
Well,
it doesn't make any rational sense at all that all people who have had their 35th birthday and someone who hasn't even played a game on the West Coast in 6 years, a home game on the West Coast actually ever in his career, just walks in and now you can't lose? It's crazy.
Well, it makes sense when you think about Jimmy Butler being fresh and being motivated because he hasn't played in Miami for a long time, and so he's rested, and he's still a very good player. Nobody would ever say, all the baggage aside, no one would ever say that Jimmy Butler's not a good player, and we all talked about how Steph needs to have a real number two, and you look at what Steph has done since Jimmy's been here. I mentioned it during the crossover. He's averaging 29 a game, and that includes two games against Charlotte where he was in second gear, and so Steph's game has risen to new levels, and you watched Draymond last night with a classic Draymond Green triple single.
Yep.
I think he had 9-9-8 or 9-8-8, whatever it was. Draymond Green is humming, and all the role players are contributing, maybe not night in and night out, but you look at the road trip, and I'll run down the numbers for you because Grandy and I were going back and forth on the show thread about the role players and whether or not they showed up on this road trip. You're getting contributions from Gee and Quentin and Moses, and now Pods is playing great. And so when you take everything in totality and you look at a record since Jimmy's come, yeah, it does make a lot of sense.
Well,
it's crazy to think that it's all come together this fast, and you have Kuminga still waiting in the wings. I don't think he'll play tomorrow, but on the road trip when they come home, he's going to be back eventually. Mm-hmm. And does that give you another lift?
I mean, maybe, yeah. You can let your mind wander a little bit, for sure. It should. It should. If it's all done correctly, like, why would a 22-year-old, the most athletic player on your team, being added back to this not help? I think there are some difficulties for him with regard to how he fits back in and keeps his mentals all in the right spot with a contract waiting for him. There's some challenges there, but I don't think it's going to make the Warriors worse. Like, it might momentarily, like for a night or two, as they try to refigure out the minutes and all of that. But even listening to what you just said, like, okay, does it quote make sense? Like, I guess it's all within the realm of someone's imagination, but no, my answer is no. I don't think that a sensical brain could have thought, well, Jimmy Butler will get acquired, you'll start winning at a 90% clip.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Steph Curry will average 7 more points a game instantaneously, and role players who made you angry all year long will just start hitting shots and making great decisions. Instantaneously. That doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, it doesn't make sense.
It's definitely best case scenario. The fact that you're 9-2, you're 9-1 when he actually plays, and everybody to a man is playing better, and the guy himself, who Miami couldn't wait to get rid of, has come in and been affable. He's burning candles. He is immediately a locker room and fan favorite. The coach loves him. Everyone loves him. Everything is beyond hunky-dory, and don't look now, but you are surging in the West, so I'm not saying that I saw this, but it's possible.
Well, that's, of course it's possible, because right, it's happening, and anything is possible. But I think you just touched on the other side to this, which is not just that suddenly the Warriors are playing great. Other than the Los Angeles Lakers, there's not a damn other thing going on in the West that hasn't fallen their way. Everyone is crumbling around them. The Clippers suddenly stink.
Mm.
The Kings lost their best player. The Mavericks lost all of their players.
Yep. Phoenix has shut it down.
The Grizzlies lost their best player.
San Antonio is beset by blood clots.
And the Rockets suddenly look young. That has all happened simultaneously.
Right?
Steve Kerr is going to join us in 5 minutes. 3 weeks ago, he's like, I wonder if we could get the 6th seed. Well, here we are, and it's barely March. Like, I don't know. Go get the 2. I mean, are you just going to win every night the rest of the way? This is beyond, man. And it's a Warrior Wednesday, and it's brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also sponsored by Public Market Emeryville. And yes, here we go. We're going to take your calls all afternoon. Did you see this in any... I mean, was this beyond your wildest dreams? Warrior fans, we'll take your calls. But there's one very specific call that we're going to take next, and it's from Steve Kerr. He joins us on Willard and Dibbs.
Two to shoot, flips it up, no good, too short, Bridges the rebound as he's falling out of bounds, throws it to Draymond Green, out to step, wide open three, Bolonites, as Guy Santos might say. Bonsoir, as Jonathan Kuminga might say, or in the words of Stephen Curry, night.
tonight.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, but he didn't do it. He threatened to do it.
He kind of did it.
And then he shrugged it off.
Did the coach prompt him to do it?
Well, let's find out.
Let's.
The coach is here. Willard and Dibbs, glad you're with us. And it is that time. Out to the River Islands guest line we go. Time for Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Hi, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. Yeah, did you have some sort of an interaction there with Steph, encouraging him to do the night that he didn't do?
Well, after the next play, I think I looked over at him and I said, "You can do it now." Yeah, and he just laughed. So, yeah, that was a fun, great night. I mean, obviously, the Garden. There's nothing like the Garden, and really good second half for us. That was a fun win. So we were all enjoying ourselves for sure.
Yeah, how much of that is the Garden? I mean, obviously, it's a big game. It's a good team. We get all that, but the interactions with Spike Lee that are still happening. Does the Garden still have its, its je ne sais quoi, if you will?
Yes. To me, it's the best atmosphere in the league for the reasons you just mentioned, just the history there and Spike on the sidelines and something about the lighting in there. I mean, you're just aware of the history and being in New York is special. So it's I think everybody was pretty fired up for the game, even on a back-to-back, getting in super late the night before. Everybody was ready to go last night. You could see it.
And also fired up to take on one of the best in the East. And, things were a little choppy in the first half, and it felt like you came out in the third quarter and started to get the game in your favor. How much confidence does that give a team that's already super confident, knowing that you can beat a really good team like New York?
Yeah, I mean, we've been building our confidence here in the last couple of weeks, but I thought the second half performance was the first time we really have put it together and looked like the team that we think we can be. And I think a lot of that is just kind of figuring out how to play through Jimmy a little bit and try to find the right combinations, the right rhythm to the game. And even though that first half was choppy, I liked our play. I mean, we were taking care of the ball. Our intentions were great. We just weren't really making shots. And then second half, the game opened up once we knocked a few down, and that seemed to give us even more confidence.
Coach Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Before we go too much deeper into the game and all the situations for the team right now, you just mentioned that you guys all love being in New York. I know you. I'm sure you guys got together and practiced today, but what about all the other hours? What are you doing with a day in New York?
No, we had the day off today. After the back to back, and so I am heading to dinner with my wife. We're going to go see a show tonight. It's a New York night. You got to do something fun. So we always love coming here. My wife is actually from here, and so it's a special trip every time we come to New York every season.
Italian steak. What
Italian.
I felt it was. And then what show are you seeing?
Exactly.
We're seeing a show called Oh Mary, which is on Broadway, and it's our son saw it. He told us it was hysterical, and so that was the one we picked. And we're excited. Good night.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better city to have an off night. And I was joking with Mark before about maybe a hungover effort against Brooklyn tomorrow, but I'm imagining that, with that many adults in your locker room, they're going to be buttoned up, especially 10-2, Steve, since you got Jimmy, and I know only one of those losses is when he played. Are you starting to feel some of the vibes of some of your great teams where you take the floor and you get that feeling like it's almost going to be impossible for you to lose?
Well, I think we're not there yet, but there is a great vibe in the locker room and a lot of confidence, in on the floor. You can just feel it. There's a maturity to our approach that I think Jimmy has helped bring out of our team, just in terms of taking care of the ball, making every possession count. He seems to make everyone around him better. I think Moses and BP, it's not a coincidence that they're playing their best basketball of the season since Jimmy came back. And
And I think Draymond's been fantastic, and I think he's got a lot more confidence now in, you know, just having Jimmy next to him and the momentum of the group that we have right now. It's you can see it in Draymond's eyes that he's believing, and that matters.
Steve, you always give honest answers. Honest answer here. Did even you think it wasn't going to work this well this fast?
I didn't know what to expect other than I knew we were getting a great player in Jimmy Butler. And I hoped that he would do what he's doing, but I wasn't sure. You're never sure until you actually see it and feel it. And I think the biggest thing, honestly, is he's a perfect fit next to Steph and Dre. He really is excited about being here. We're excited to have him. So the circumstances were just right for all parties involved. And it just feels right, and we're capitalizing, and we're playing at a high level. But we also know that, you know, we got a lot more work ahead.
Yeah, I mean, 20 games left to go in the regular season, and you had said before to us and openly that the sixth seed was the goal, and now here you are, the sixth seed. Are you starting to recalibrate a little bit on what you think you can be here in the regular season?
I think we can move up further now. I mean, given what's transpired the last couple of weeks, we've made a pretty quick rise up the standings. We're only a few games behind Houston. You know, we have the tiebreaker over them. I think we play them one more time. I don't think that spot is out of the question. You know, I think you start looking too far ahead, and you get out of sorts. And so, the only thing we're focused on is just winning the next game. But of course, we look at the standings, you know, every day, and we look at the scores every night, and we're trying to climb as high as we can for sure.
Steve, you've used the word confidence a couple of times in this conversation, and it's bringing to mind what you had said a few times earlier this year about the crisis of confidence that you guys were experiencing. Can you kind of detail the journey of how the team got out of that?
Well, there was a lot going on, I think. You know, the injuries definitely hurt us. There was a stretch there, with Draymond out, with BP out. I think the biggest thing for me as a coach, just looking at the whole season, is that when we were 12 deep, early in the season, it was a real benefit to us. And we were playing everybody and overwhelming teams, you know, the depth and defensive pressure. And then, you know, the injury to Melton, to me, changed everything. It changed our rotations and the vibe, and then we started getting some injuries. We just lost our momentum, and I think Mike sensed it. I've said a few times, you know, the fact that, you know, Mike knew we were kind of dead in the water and we needed to make a move. He made the move at the right time, and so solidified the roster, solidified the rotation, and now here we are.
You mentioned injuries derailing you earlier, and Melton, of course, and the rest of it. And GP2, I guess, is listed as probable for tomorrow, but Kuminga will be out. Where are we with Jonathan Kuminga? Was there a setback, or is this still kind of a slow build toward his eventual return?
It's a slow build. I'm going to warn you here. I'm about to get out in the streets of New York. It's about to get loud, so we'll do our best.
I love it. Do your thing, right, Steve. I mean, you're trying to make us jealous, and yes, we're feeling jealous right now.
We love ambient noise. Yeah, this is good.
And that sound in the business, yeah.
Can you hear the rain? That's the question.
Now I want to know how much you just tipped that guy.
I don't reveal everything.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I would imagine it's more on the side of generosity. I can't think that Steve's going to short the guy. I mean, this is Steve Kerr, ladies and gentlemen. JK, a setback or just a slow build, Steve, as the natural sound of New York brings us all back in?
No setback. It's just the injury itself was, I think, more serious than anybody realized, you know, and some of these things you just can't predict. I mean, that's one of the things I've learned, during my time as coach, working with Rick and the performance staff. There's no exact recipe for these injuries, and everybody heals differently. And I think as it's turned out, JK's injury was probably, you know, more of a setback than we realized in the beginning. And he's working hard. He's working every day. He had a really good workout today. And it does feel like he's getting close, but, you know, you just got to do the right thing, and that's what we're all trying to do.
I mean, those reports are out there that at least in the back of your minds, maybe Saturday against Detroit. Is there anything you can share on that?
I can't. That would just be speculation on my part right now.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And then what about the other injury situation on the team? How's GP2 doing?
He's doing well. You know, he had a fracture from the collision, and I think he's getting fitted for a mask. I believe we listed him as probable for tomorrow. So that'll be great to get him back. He's been playing really, really well.
No doubt, and just so many intangibilities that he brings to the team. I wonder always about this, Steve, a team on a long road trip. It'll be game five of a five-game trip. What can you do as a coach, and what can the veterans do to try to avoid that last game of a road trip letdown?
Well, I don't think we qualify for that team right now, given where we are. We would qualify for that if we were, rolling along. If this were 6-7 years ago, I would definitely be concerned about a letdown in a game like this. But where we are, 20 games left, last game of the trip, a lot of tough games coming up. In sixth, but only a couple games out of 10th, we're not in a position to let our guard down, and our guys know that, so we'll be ready to roll.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibs, as he is every week, and cruising the streets of New York. And I wonder, Steve, you probably get asked this every time you go there. Maybe not. Like, when you're there, do you still each time have that moment and look around at MSG and think about what could have been if you'd made a different decision years ago?
No, I don't spend one second on that topic, largely because I already know the answer. I would have been fired within 2 years, and I'd be doing television right now.
You were pretty good on TV. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to sell that part of it short, but just in the moment as you were trying to decide between Golden State and New York, what was ultimately the thing that swung you toward the Warriors?
Well, I said this a while back, but there were two main factors. Steph Curry was on the Warriors, and then my daughter was a sophomore at Berkeley at the time. But as I told my daughter, the decision came down to about 95% of that was Steph, and 5% was my daughter.
Yeah, and you never want to pick between your children, but yeah.
No. She was really pleased with that answer. By the way, she just rolled her eyes, and she's like, "I'm used to your dad jokes." So anyway.
Well, yeah. Usually, when kids go away to college, they don't want their parents following them there.
Well, that was her joke. She said, "I thought I was getting away from you, and then you and Mom follow us. What's that all about?"
So. Yeah, and I've never seen your daughter shoot, but I would imagine that Steph's probably a better shooter. I mean, a little bit. Yeah, one thing
better.
We were talking about before the show is the idea about, you know, what Shaq said last night. You probably didn't hear it because you were coaching the game, but Shaq is saying Steph needs to be in the GOAT conversation, the greatest of all time. Mark, do you have the sound to play for him?
Steve, did you actually hear it? Did you hear what Shaq said?
No.
Yeah, here.
No.
I know you're out on the streets, but if you can hear it, this is it.
As the supreme leader of the Big Man Alliance, I demand you fans to start putting Steph Curry in that greatest of all time conversation. I demand it.
Why does the Big Man Alliance need to say something?
Because I am the supreme leader and my voice counts. And I'm saying, listen, I played against Mike, played with Kobe, played against and with LeBron. They're all great. But at some point, we're going to have to put Steph Curry in that category. I'm not saying he is, but let's just have the conversation. Like, I like all the internet talk and the barbershop talk, but I ain't never seen nothing like that before, and nobody has.
That's on TNT. What do you think of that, Steve?
I think he's dead on, because Steph is the most unique superstar of all time. He broke barriers. He changed the game. And what he does, really to this day, is unique to himself. And I just can't even imagine anybody doing the stuff he does. But it's different. The way he impacts the game is different. And so when you have these conversations about who's the greatest ever, you automatically go to these these genetic marvels, LeBron and Michael Jordan and, Will Chamberlain, whoever else. Steph doesn't fit that normal mold. So I love that Shaq is bringing that up, because from a skill standpoint, it's not even close. He is the greatest ever from a skill standpoint. These arguments are always fun, and you can't reach any conclusion because it's all just art, not science. But I like what Shaq said. I agree with him.
Well, and Steve, I wonder to what level you feel kind of resurgence of energy around the league. It feels like the first half of the season, people are yelling about TV ratings and load management again. And then LeBron and Steph both are on teams that make huge acquisitions and go on big winning streaks, and suddenly everything feels different. To what level are you guys experiencing that?
Well, I mean, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. We're so wrapped up in our own season. I do still feel like LeBron and Steph are kind of the faces of the league, and they drive so much of the interest and the intrigue. And, the fact that the Lakers were able to trade for Luka and we were able to trade for Jimmy, it definitely changed the vibe around the league. And it changed the vibe in our locker room, and I'm sure the Lakers too. So, it feels good for the league. The interest and the fact that these two guys who are still going strong are still carrying the flag for the league. And obviously, when they're playing on good teams, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's exciting for us certainly here on the flagship and all the Warrior fans, and we can't help but think about Steph turning 37 here in about a week or so, and maybe that elongates his career. Have you thought about your own coaching career as it pertains to Steph and his timeline and how many more years he wants to play? Are those two things intertwined at all?
Oh, probably. I think every coaching job has an expiration date. And I think it's important for, all parties involved to be aware of that. And so there's probably something to that. But I don't spend much time thinking about that. I love what I do. I love this team. I love coaching these guys every day. And I'm just going to keep plugging away with them and see what we can accomplish, and then we'll worry about all that stuff later.
Speaking of Steph's birthday, and Draymond obviously had one last night, do y'all get each other birthday gifts?
No.
No.
I asked Draymond if the coaching staff could go with him to wherever his party was last night, and there was just a strange silence in response. So I took it as a no.
Okay, but there was an MSG after party for Day Day. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, there definitely was. Okay. And the guys were all excited, and Buddy Hield was loving it. Buddy is always the life of the party. And he had something planned for Dre, and I don't know what they did, but I'm sure they had fun, and I'm all for it.
Can you just elaborate on the Buddy factor? Because fans, they didn't fully sour on him during his three-month shooting spell, but it seems like he lives his life with a certain infectious joy that you guys inside the locker room absolutely love. Can you give us a little bit of a window into just how fun it is to be around Buddy Hield no matter what?
Yeah, Steph told me he's one of his favorite teammates of all time, Buddy, is that just the joy that he brings, the laughter, the upbeat nature, regardless of how things are going, whether he's making shots or missing shots, he's always in a good mood, and that stuff is crucial in a long season in the locker room. You need guys like that, and so everybody loves Buddy. He's just a wonderful, wonderful person.
All right, Steve. Well, before you go have a night in New York, we've done this before, so it won't surprise you, I don't think, but I'm bringing my Cal Poly class to see you again at your press conference before the game on Saturday against the Pistons. Is there any question that I should tell my students? Boy, don't ask Steve that.
You know me, I'll answer anything. So I don't have anything for you. Just, whatever they got, I'll I'll have a response for them.
Well, do you want to help me play a joke on them and see, like, will you just go off on one of them, like, for no reason?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's definitely do it. Like, what kind of question is that?
Yeah, like, if one of them's like, what are you, like, is Jonathan Kuminga going to play tonight? I want to just throw a pen and be like,
wow,
that's a ridiculous, like, yeah, let's see if we can really freak them out.
I love it.
Yeah, because that won't go viral at all. Hey, Steve, how do you do your favorite hobby tonight of scoreboard watching while you're on date night? Because you got Grizzlies and Thunder, you got the Nuggets playing, you got a full slate of games. What does Steve Kerr do tonight with a date and scoreboard watching?
Well, when you've been married 35 years, I don't know. You just peek at the phone, and at this point, she doesn't care anymore. She's used to it.
Exactly.
The old peek at the phone.
Exactly.
35 years in, peek at the phone.
Like, what
are you going to do about it?
Where are you going? Exactly. All right. Hey, Steve, thanks as always. Go have a night. Enjoy yourself. Thank you, and we'll see you this weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Steve, thank you.
There you go. Steve Kerr. Look,
what are you going to do about it?
For me, it's this. If you're still early in the relationship, you just, hey, I got to go to the restroom.
Right, right.
And you go to the restroom and you take a look at the phone. After 35 years, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
I'm looking at the phone.
Yeah.
So,
I got a game on the phone and I'm watching the game over your shoulder.
Exactly.
You know,
you start cheering at the wrong time of a Broadway musical because the Grizzlies just fell behind in the fourth. It's a funny story.
It's awkward.
That's all it is. Well, that was great. That was great as always. And, Steve out for a night in New York, and it sounds like probably everybody had a pretty good time from Draymond's birthday last night to the fact that I got the impression, he didn't say this, but I got the impression all these guys largely didn't even see each other today. Like, day off. Dial out. I'm not going to knock on your door and check on you or any of that stuff. Go take care of yourself. That's what a veteran team gets to do.
Especially when you are 4-1 on a trip and it started on Tuesday and this is now day 8 and you've played 5 games. So, yeah, you're not going to practice and you're coming off a win and you're in New York City. So last night, and I love that, where he says, hey, Draymond, where's the party? Draymond's like, are you talking to me?
I'll text you the address,
yes.
Coach.
None
later.
Of you were invited except Ron Adams. Ron, you're in.
Buddy Hield. Oh, gosh, that's great. All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Any reaction to the Steve Kerr conversation, let's do it at 888-957-9570. But we can also circle back to where we were before Steve came on, which was, does this make sense to any of you? Like, let's be real with what we all were thinking about Warrior basketball as recently as 7 or 8 weeks ago. Come on, let's go through the evolution together. Where were you then? Where are you now? And does any of this feel sensical to you in any way? So we'll take some calls on that next. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.